The future of reporting now.
This is Concordia News Radio.
Good morning. It's currently 7 degrees and sunny at the Loyola campus of Concordia University. I'm Mathieu Decors.
And I'm Joji Furukawa.
And here are today's headlines. Dawson College set to close tomorrow for student strike. The Coalition for Democracy Montreal plans to sue the city over bike path. And tennis legend Rafael Nadal announces his retirement. Dawson College is set to close tomorrow due to a planned student strike in support for Palestine. Dawson made the decision to close after students voted to hold a one-day strike in solidarity with Gaza. Tens of thousands of students are expected to strike on Thursday, and some on Friday as well. Concordia University sent an email to students calling for respect on campus and cautioning against potential violence, vandalism, and harassment during the protest. The Coalition for Democracy Montreal is preparing to sue the Agglomeration Council of Montreal over bike path. Soraya Yale Ramathan is more.
The Coalition for Democracy Montreal says the city hasn't been consulting enough when creating new bike paths. Marc Perez is a director at the coalition. He says that the local government has completely ignored the needs of citizens who are against the bike path. Last Monday, Perez and 70 protesters gathered at City Hall where he questioned Mayor Plante's stance on referendums. Perez says that the bike paths are a controversial issue that the public has been routinely ignored when they speak out against it.
If the citizens don't have a voice, and if the administration doesn't have a voice, then it becomes a point where it's a tyranny. You know, I don't like to use that word loosely, but that's what it becomes when somebody wants to implement their agenda and their belief without the consultation of people, and that's not what democracy is.
When Mayor Plante ran for office in 2017, new bike paths were a key part of her platform. But building new bike paths takes away parking spaces. 250 spots in the Park Extension neighborhood, another 300 spots on Terrebonne Street. The coalition needs $60,000 to pay their legal fees for their lawsuit. So far, they've raised about half. Michael Bergman is their lawyer.
We submit that legally there should have been a proper consultation process. There are also, of course, a number of other more technical legal arguments that bear on the nature of municipal law in Quebec, which will be brought up in court.
Bergman adds that the loss of parking spaces affects locals trying to park, businesses who want to attract customers, and people with disabilities. If the coalition lawsuit is successful, it could force the city to consult more when building new bike paths. Soraya Yelramanathan, CJCN, Montreal.
The Quebec government has unveiled a new plan to increase access to abortion in the province. The $7.5 million plan focuses mainly on services outside of Montreal. People in the region sometimes need to wait more than 5 weeks before terminating an unwanted pregnancy. The plan also includes a new telehealth service. It will help provide abortion pills to those who don't live near a clinic. Martine Biron is Quebec's Minister for the Status of Women. She says the plan was partly developed as a response to the recent U.S. presidential election. Biron says more than 90% of Quebecers support a woman's right to choose, but she says anti-choice sentiment is rising. Because of this, she says the government needs to continue protecting the reproductive rights of women.
The United Nations is highlighting problems with access to proper sanitation with World Toilet Day. The UN says that more than 4 billion people worldwide have trouble with access to toilets. In Montreal, some people say that the city could do better when it comes to accessible facilities downtown. Cassidy Jacobs is more.
Sarah Dezan is a Concordia student who works at the Loyola campus bookstore. She has problems finding bathrooms in the city at times.
Really, I avoid them like the plague, honestly, because they're not the nicest. They're not always clean, and you can't always find them. Depending on where you are, like some of the ones on St. Catherine, you can't find public washrooms. And when you do, they're always busy. Because there's one in like a 2 mile radius.
Certain people are more at risk of struggling to find a restroom. Valerie Dorin speaks for CDC Plateau Montreal, which represents a number of community organizations.
If they're homeless and they need some intimacy, it's a struggle for them. if we're talking about women, they have issues with the menstruation.
Dorin says city councilors know this is an ongoing problem, but she says they are not actively taking any measures to deal with it due to lack of funding. For Concordia News, I'm Cassidy Jacobs.
The city of Laval has recently dedicated $1.6 million for the ongoing expansion of the Parc de la Rivière des Mille Îles. Mélanie Tremblay-Turgeon has more.
Pierre Laurendeau visits the Parc de la Rivière des Mille Îles, located on Laval's North Shore, almost every day. He loves sitting and enjoying its beauty.
Surtout l'été, je m'assois, marcher.
He says, especially in the summer, I like to sit, walk, observe the beauty of the surrounding nature, and enjoy the sun. It's really an extraordinary place. Laurendeau is happy to learn the park will be growing. In September, Laval's Municipal Council dedicated $1.6 million to acquire 9.3 hectares of woodland in the Bois d'Auteuil. The Parc de la Rivière des Mille Îles was first developed in 1998, initially covering about 26 hectares. Now, it encompasses over 971 hectares, including 10 islands like L'Île aux Vaches, L'Île Saint-Pierre, and L'Île Locasse. The nonprofit organization Éco-Nature manages the park and began an expansion project in 2009. Anaïs Boutin is the general manager of Éco-Nature. She says they want to see the park become one of the largest urban wildlife reserves in Quebec. She says the goal is to have protected areas like this that are accessible to the public, profitable to citizens, where we can do a variety of activities all the while respecting nature. Additionally, it allows us to protect the exceptional biodiversity of the region, as well as maintain both the uses and ecological services of the Rivière des Mille Îles for the greater Montreal area. Boutin says that the next step would be to acquire another island, L'Île Saint-Joseph. She's not sure yet as to when the acquisition might go ahead. According to Boutin, the park is home to over 88 species that are a special concern. This includes the vulnerable least bittern. Mélanie Tremblay-Turgeon, CJCN, Montreal.
People living in the Southwest Borough and Lachine are unhappy with the changes to their bus service. It's been 3 months since the STM announced it was making changes to bus lines. As Marie Latifpour-Mouzard reports, some citizens say service was already bad and now it's gotten worse.
Sarah Amedi is getting on the 496 bus. It's 7:30 in the morning and the bus is packed. The bus is on schedule this time, but delays are something that Lachine citizens are used to. For Sarah, waiting for a late bus during the winter is not ideal.
Well, it's going to get colder, and if we stay outside for 30 minutes, we're going to, I don't know, get hypothermia.
But even when it's hot outside, Lachine citizens' patience is starting to run thin. The STM cut two bus lines altogether, and that's putting pressure on the bus lines that remain. In a Facebook group for people living in Lachine, people are sharing their opinions. One person says, the 496 bus is always late and full, and people should complain to the STM. Another also mentions the 198 bus line, saying the buses are often late and can be impossible to hop on at time. But not everyone agrees that the STM bus service in Lachine is bad. Patrick Dyer says that since coming to Lachine in July, he has not had problems with the bus.
No, I think this route's very good. It's always coming. No problems with it.
Lachine Mayor Maya Vodanovic says that she understands their frustration. She says that there are things that don't work, that some buses are not going as well or are late. Vodanovic says she knows it is hard for some transport users and she agrees that changes are needed. She says council has talked to the STM about it, but it's not clear what impact that will have. Marie Latifpour-Mouzard, CJCN, Montreal.
For many students, finding affordable meal options takes a lot of work. Programs like the High Free Lunch at Concordia University can make a big difference, but not everyone knows it exists. Kayla Ifergen has more.
Thank you.
Amalia Yi set to enjoy her free breakfast at Loyola campus. Today, the Hive Cafe is serving corn porridge and a plum sauce and a veggie casserole. Every day, the Hive Cafe serves breakfast from 9:30 to 10:30 a.m. and lunch from 12:30 to 1:30 p.m. Megan Mingai often buys food at the Hive. She didn't know she could get it for free.
Hive is also so expensive, so if I knew they had a free lunch, it would have really helped me out, especially as a struggling student.
There is an Instagram page advertising the Hive free meals, but if students don't already know about the service, it's hard to find. Student Matthew Boyer spends a lot on his meals every day.
Wish I knew Hive had free breakfast and lunch because I'm always looking for cheaper meals around school and there aren't many options. So if I knew that was an option, I obviously would have taken it.
Students pay for these resources through their tuition, but Megan Mangai says if no one's advertising programs like this, how are students supposed to know they exist, let alone use them? Kayla Ifrigan, CJCN, Montreal.
Spain's loss yesterday at the Davis Cup quarterfinal marked the end of the career of a tennis giant, Rafael Nadal. We're joined by Félix-Antoine Beauchemin in studio with more. Félix-Antoine, just how great was Rafael Nadal?
Well, he was one of the greatest players of all time. Some would even say the greatest ever. I'm not going to get into that debate right now, but he's definitely among the conversation. He was a member of the so-called Big Three with Novak Djokovic and Roger Federer, who have dominated the last two decades of tennis. In his career, he's won 92 career titles in singles. That includes 22 Grand Slam titles, two Olympic gold medals, one in singles and one in doubles. He's also nicknamed the King of Clay, as he's won 14 titles at Roland Garros, the French Open.
What were the reactions to his retirement?
Well, we knew that this would be coming since he announced his retirement last month and that the Davis Cup will be his last tournament at home in Spain. And since he announced his retirement last month, there's been an outpour of love from pretty much the entire tennis world. And we've also seen that yesterday after he played his last game. The crowd giving a standing ovation after Spain was eliminated, and I also spoke with Martin Garépi, who's the director of participation at Tennis Quebec, about Nadal's legacy.
I think people will remember, obviously, all these titles on clay and Roland Garros, other tournaments, but just his fighting spirit, always intense on court, never giving up, always giving a great show.
And how would Nadal like to be remembered?
Well, Nadal, he was all a relatively reserved character, especially for someone who is so renowned worldwide. And after Spain's elimination, he said he would like to remember not only for his titles, but the person he was on and off the court.
So I just want to be remembered as a good person and a kid that follow their dreams and achieve more than what I ever dreamed.
And he will for sure be remembered as one of the greats for decades to come. Joji?
Thank you, Félix-Antoine.
Canada crushed Suriname 3-0 in Toronto last night in men's soccer. Jacob Schaffelberg scored two goals, and Jonathan Davis' goal made him the all-time best goal scorer for the men's national team. The team advances to the semifinals of the Nations League, which will be held in March in California, and qualifies for the 2025 Gold Cup in June, which will be held in both Canada and the United States. It's been 1 year since the Quebec government banned non-tobacco flavored vapes. Many vape users have turned to illegal shops and out-of-province websites to get their vapes. Agathe Solda reports.
George Bacal is a Concordia student who goes to vape shops weekly despite the ban on flavored vapes. He says that his vape consumption has not decreased since the ban was issued.
It's been kind of easy to get vapes. I haven't had any trouble in the past year. It's just been easy. Honestly, the ban hasn't affected me in any way. Simply because the government isn't checking the vape stores, because there's still some vape stores operating.
The Quebec government approved the ban on non-tobacco flavored vapes on October 31, 2023. Since then, Quebec's Ministère de la Santé et des Services Sociaux have inspected only 150 Quebec vape shops. A survey conducted by Imperial Tobacco Canada found that 40% of vape purchases are made at vape shops despite the restrictions. Meanwhile, about a third of buyers have turned to online sources to get their hands on banned flavors. Marc-André Parenteau is the senior advisor for Heart and Stroke Quebec. He says that restrictions are necessary and still have an impact on youth.
I did a few surveys, and there is one that showed that 74% of young people who have never smoked say that the ban discouraged them from trying. So there is potential positive impact on that.
But the effectiveness of the ban is still a topic of debate. Despite challenges in enforcement, Parenteau says the ban is a first step towards change. He'd also like to see stronger measures across Canada.
First step for us would be to make sure the industry comply with the regulation in Quebec by increasing resources for inspection and reporting these businesses that do not comply with the law. It becomes urgent that the federal government go forward with a ban on flavor across the country, on flavor and vaping products. And that would tackle the issue of interprovincial buying.
Nova Scotia and New Brunswick have also banned the sales of flavored vapes. Other provinces are also looking at restrictions, but it is not clear yet if any of them will follow. For Concordia News, I'm Agathe Solda.
After an extensive press tour, Wicked is finally opening in theaters this week to rave reviews.
Listen to me. You can do anything.
The movie is based on a 2003 Broadway musical. Critics are praising the performances of the film's stars Cynthia Erivo and Ariana Grande. The Toronto Star's film critic says the film is an energetic delight. But some critics are annoyed that the film is split into two parts. The BBC's film critic questions the total five-hour runtime and says it's hard not to resent the arrogance of the filmmakers. The movie opens in theaters in Montreal on Friday. And now your weather report. Today, a mix of sun and cloud with a high of 9 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy with temperatures dropping to 5. And tomorrow, rainy and a high of 8. That's your news to 11:30. Thanks for listening. For Concordia News, I'm Joji Furukawa.
And I'm Matilda Carlos.